We find ourselves now in the summer months, in the lowest part of the calendar, the months of Tammuz and Av. And the calendar's always ups and downs throughout the year with our closeness and our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael as a whole, as individuals, is parallel to a relationship between husband and wife. Their ups and downs, their happy times, their sad times, their weddings, their births, there's bris milas, there's bar mitzvahs, there's bas mitzvahs. And sometimes you get along better than others. And then there are downtimes such as a death in the family, financial struggles, arguments, debates. So there are ups and downs both in marriage and in our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And we know that there's a parallel between a marriage, between husband and wife, and between the Kaddish Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. As the Psukim and Shir HaShirim tell us, and Shlomo Melech describes this relationship, which is a love story, which sounds like a love story between husband and wife, but in reality, in the depths, it's a love story between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And there's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tainis, Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, that quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And the Pasuk says, B'yom chasunaso, b'yom simchas libo, the day of a wedding, the day of the happiness. And so the Mishnah says, it's B'yom chasunaso, the wedding day is Zeh Matan Torah, where we wed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the luchos were given as a ksuba to us, and that was our marriage between Bnei Yisrael and Ribono Sholom. And then B'yom Simchas Libo, the day of happiness, is Zeh Binyan Beis HaMikdash Sheibana B'mheirav Yameinu, concludes the Mishnah. First to the house that we live in, between husband and wife, but also the larger house, on a larger scale, the Beis HaMikdash that we live with, the Shechina. So we could use the calendar, we could use our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the happy times being the Yomim Tovim, Shlosh Regalim, Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the sad times such as Avelus of Sfiras HaOmer, or the times where it's a little bit drier, not so much excitement, perhaps after Hanukkah until Purim, Sfiras HaOmer, Bein HaMetzarim, the 3 weeks. And to use these ideas as models to how to build our own relationship when there are ups and when there are downs. The Bnei Yisrael writes in Chodesh, in Maimer Chodesh Tammuz, the first Maimer, he describes as follows. He's quoting the Sefer Yetzirah. It's not on the sheets just yet. But he quotes the Sefer Yetzirah that each of the 12 months correspond to a different letter. And the months of Tammuz and Av correspond to the letter Ches and the letter Tes, respectively. Letter Ches is for Chodesh Tammuz, and the letter Tes is for Chodesh Av. And now see what he writes inside. Hinecha roeh, you see that the osios Ches Tes, heima hashalten b'shnei chadashim halalu. The letters Ches and the letter Tes are the ones that are in control of these two summer months, the down times. V'zeh nirmas, this is hinted in the pasuk in Eicha, in the very first parak. Chet chata Yushalayim, chet, the lashon of Ches and Tes are brought down, caused the Yushalayim to sin. Ayin b'bal turim, parshas Vayechi, what he says. The pasuk at the end, Yaakov, Vayikra Yaakov, Elbanav Yaakov called his sons together. We know Rashi tells us, Bikesh legalos lehem es haketz. Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children when the end of days will be, when the ketz will come, when the gula will come. V'nistam imenu, and it was became hidden, and he forgot it. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to reveal the ketz, and he forgot it. And Yaakov got very, very worried, and Amar, Shema chas v'shalom yesh b'chem chet, perhaps within one of you there's a chet, there's a sin, there's an avera. And the simple pshat is maybe someone did an avera and they weren't zocha to know when the ketz is. It says the Baal Turim, Amru tidaktek bishmosenu, look in our names, the names of the brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and so on. V'lo timsa behem osios ches Tes. The letters Ches and Tes are not found anywhere in the names of the Bnei Yaakov. What's the idea? Says the Baal Turim, it wasn't that he was concerned that an Avera, Chet as an Avera, was taking place, but maybe the letters Ches and Tes were present, because the letters Ches and Tes, Harei Lecha, we have in front of you that Sha'osios Gormim, that the letters cause a problem. That's hard for us to understand. A person has a name. Sometimes a name causes something out of his control, have just a bad mazel. And the letters Ches and Tes have a bad mazel. The months of Tammuz Av are bad mazel, says the Gemara. Parenthetically, he writes, Hagam shebevadai habechira chafshi. Certainly, a person with certain letters, he has his own ability to make his decisions. But in kol zeh, with all of this, hazman va'amakum va'nefesh. There are certain times that have bad mazel, such as Tammuz and Av. There are certain places that have bad mazel. And nefesh are certain people, by their names, have bad mazel. V'famim misayim l'chol inim. Which have a certain inclination in certain directions. But what we see, says the Bnei Yisachar and the Baal Turim, that the letters Ches and letter Ches have bad mazel. Imkain. If that's the case, Elu hashnei chadashim. These 2 months, Tammuz and Av, Shebehem osios Ches and Tes behem, according to the Sefer Yitzira, that correspond to letters Ches and Tes, Daika garam. The Ches and Tes cause some bad, some ra, to take place during these down months, down time of the year. The Nimsa, Shamu Razal, we have in the Gemara, Brachos Davdalim, Ru'uyim Yahayu Yisrael, that Klai Yisrael was fit, we were worthy, Lasos Lehem Nes Bimei Ezra, that we are worthy of experiencing a tremendous miracle in the times of Ezra, so much so, Kiderech Shinaseh Lehem Bimei Yeshua, just as the times we had during Yeshua. Elisha Gorim HaChet, but the Chet caused us, prevented us from getting it. What Chet happened at Yimei Ezra? Hine, says the Bnei Yisachar, Timsa Sheba Ezra al Yushalayim. When did he come? Bechodesh HaChamishi, the 5th month, which is Av. Sh'oz Shlitas HaChet, he came during the bad time of the year. And the bad time of the year, bad mazel, they weren't worthy of any nes. We see that the Ches and Tes is Gorim. Bad names, bad months, avoid it. This actually could be pshat in the Ramah writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that it's a custom not to have an egos, have a walnut Rosh Hashanah night. We have Simanim Tovim, Simanim Milsa, the Gemara says. It's a big siman to have certain foods, to have a good year, to get rid of the chait and averos. So one of the things that you should not have, according to the Ramah, is egos. Because the gematria of egos is the gematria of chait. We don't want to have a chait. So all the Achronim ask, it's not the same gematria. The gematria of egos is 17, but the gematria of chet is 18. So perhaps the answer is, no, it's not chet, ches, tes, aleph, it's the letters ches, tes. Egos has the same gematria of ches, tes, that's 17. Not a chet as in an avera, but chet is in those letters. The gematria of the letters ches, tes, which we see from the Bnei Yisachar, has a mazel ra. And therefore we don't eat it Rosh Hashanah night. So then the Bnei Yisachar says further, going back to the Pasuk in Eicha, V'zeo sheyesh lifrosh, now we could explain the Pasuk, Chet chato Yushalayim, a sin Yushalayim had sinned upon, Alkein l'nida ha'yisan, therefore Yushalayim is like a nida. Very strange Pasuk. L'chor kasha, this is a very difficult thing. Halo chet, Perusha Shogeg. A chait means a person made an accident. He made a mistake accidentally. So if a kasha, v'chimi p'nei sheshagaga, because a person made an accidental mistake. Akein tiyem muruchekes kenida. Yushalayim is going to be so far, like a wife is a nida so far away. The guy made a mistake. Give him a break. Ulefi anal, according to what we said above, yesh lefarish, chait chata Yushalayim, not that there was a sin that took place, but hazman garam, because it was during the months of Tammuz and Av, it was a bad time period, but it was only temporary. But during that time, Zman Shlitas Chestes, the Chat, or the Chet. Al-Kain, Lenida Haisa. That's why Yushalayim is compared to a Nida, which is not so bad. Why not? Alkein ha'isarak kanida lo kimosha arayos. Not like other types of arayos. She'asurim umruchokim liyolam. That other arayos are usher to a person forever. No, Yerushalayim wasn't usher forever. It wasn't like an ashes ish. Rak kimonida shemutaris l'acharzman. It was a temporary distancing. A temporary nida. That in a few months from now, the wife will come back. So ches tes wasn't a chet that couldn't be undone. It was a temporary bad zman. And that's what the Bnei Sash is explaining during these times. And that's what the same thing is in a relationship. When a woman is in nida, halachically, she's distanced from her husband. Also when there's a argument, or there's a downtime where there's perhaps an emotional distance. It's only temporary. It's only like a nida. It's only a bad time, a bad event, a bad argument. But these things can always be worked on. So we see this model, this parallel, between our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash, our house. There are times when we're close and times when we're distant. So too in a relationship, there are times when we're close and there's times when we're distant. So how do we deal with the times when we're distant? So many of you might be familiar with the famous five languages of love. I want to go through three of these languages. I'll describe all five of them, but I only want to elaborate on three of them. The five are a physical language of love, which is not going to be the discussion nowadays. We're talking about when a person's benida, that they're physically distant, even emotionally distant. That's not the aspect we're going to discuss. And there's the element of giving compliments, saying nice things to each other. The third thing is giving gifts to each other. The fourth thing is spending time with each other. And the fifth thing, which I'm not going to discuss the fifth thing, but you'll see there's a parallel as well, is doing services and helping each other out. Those are the five languages of love. And you find all those five elements in the Beis HaMikdash, and that parallels a relationship between husband and wife. Let's discuss the first one. Based on my little experience of dealing with young couples, the top two challenges that young couples have are in-laws, which I've discussed last year, and communication, or miscommunication, being on the same playing field, understanding what the other means, wants, what they're trying to tell you, what are they really trying to tell you, and it takes some time, like any other team, a basketball team coming together. It could take Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, it takes them a few games before they get in the rhythm of working with each other. Even though you've got two great players, they have to mesh and be on the same playing field. So you have a great chassan and a great kala who are individually great, but to live together under their same roof, it takes some time to start communicating properly with each other. How to say, I'm sorry, how to give in, how to articulate certain things. So you have this element both with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that relationship, that communication, and with the husband and wife. It's a very, very difficult thing to convey one's feelings also when one gets married. And this isn't only true as young couples. Oftentimes it continues as they get older. Recently, many people from the shul went to Poland on a trip with Eish Kodesh. And my wife had heard from a few other wives that the husbands didn't know how to properly say thank you and show their appreciation. The Karsato, for the week that they spent away, left the kids at home with their wives. They thought that they earned and deserved this trip. It was coming to them. And the wife stayed home like they should stay home, they thought, and take care of the kids, and there's no need to give appreciation, or they lack the ability to say it in such a positive way. And this is a common problem, being able to convey one's feelings. Hakar Satov, to give compliments. There's a Gemara in Shabbos which talks about Rav Huna would give a beautiful comment to his wife. I wouldn't recommend this at home, but he'd call his wife Basi, my house. He'd call her my house. Now that wouldn't come off as a compliment, bismanazet, to call your wife a house. You might take that the wrong way. But it was viewed, as Rashi says, in a very endearing term. Because he was telling his wife that you are my everything. You are my house. You run my household. I can't get anything done without you. Whether it means shopping, cooking, taking care of the kids, and everything else that takes place in a house that I can't do, that's what you are, says Rav Huna to his wife. And that's a compliment we see in the Gemara. We don't see so much of this in the Gemara. We don't see so much relationships in the Gemara. But this is a very powerful statement about the ability to give compliments and to communicate properly with one's spouse. We have this idea, of course, with the Kaddish Baruch as well, to communicate. The ability to communicate and be aware of what you need from Hashem. And we're communicating every single day. During Tefillah, during Shmona Esrei, we're talking directly to Hashem. So there's a beautiful piece Ravolbi has in Ali Shor Chelek Rishon, in the end of the 23rd Perek Chav Gim. It talks about this time period of Tammuz and Av, where in the down times, where we feel very distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it just gets worse. As we go deeper into the summer, we begin the 3 weeks, and then we begin the 9 days, and then Rosh Chodesh, then Shavuot Shechalbo, and then Tisha B'Av. We get further and further from the Ribono Shel Olam. And yet, despite that distance, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Ein Omrim Tachanun B'Tisha B'Av D'Mikrei Moed. We don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av because it's called a Moed, based on a Pasuk. It's called a Yom Tov. And therefore we don't say Tachanun, which is a very strange thing, that we would refer to the lowest day of the year as a moed. So Rabbeinu Yerucham gave this beautiful idea, which Ravolbi wants to elaborate on. We have Shloshes HaRegalim Nikrim Moed. The three Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot are called Moed. And Tisha B'Av is called Moed. Complete opposite type of day, emotionally. So he explains that there are some Moadim where we're celebrating our kiruv, our closeness with Hashem Yisbarach. And then there are the Moadim where we celebrate the Richuk, the distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which of course is Tisha B'Av. Now this is a very profound idea and concept which requires some explanation. How do you celebrate a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you celebrate a Yahrzeit? How do you celebrate such a day that there's so much distance from one you love? So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'karov Hashem l'chol karov. The Medrash explains that Hashem is close to all those who call Him. L'chol karov. Yachol l'chol, maybe l'chol, maybe akarov Hashem l'chol. Hashem is close to everyone, not true? L'chol asher yikru ve'emes. Only those who call to Him be'emes, truthfully. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emes, the Gemara tells us His chosem, the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is emes. So to those who are on the same wavelength, who call to Hashem be'emes, He's the one who's karov. HaKarov Hashem l'chol karov, those who call Him out, l'chol asher yikru ve'emes, those who call out to Hashem in a emesdik way, in an honest way. Now this seems to make no sense, says the Ravolbi. This is the opposite of what one would have thought initially. I would have thought, my impression would be, the tzaddik's tefillah, the tzaddik who's naturally close to Kadosh Baruch Hu because he listens to him, he follows the mitzvahs and avoids averas, his tefillah is karov l'Hashem. Yet the Rasha, who is violating averas, he's distant from Hashem. But that's not true. The Pasuk in Tehillim is telling us that the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to do with how much of a tzaddik or how little of a tzaddik you are, but it's totally on how emistic you are, how truthful you are. And even a Rasha could be truthful. How so? Because a Rasha is like a tzaddik. If a Rasha knows, if he's Kara be'emes, he calls out to Hashem in truth, meaning I know I'm in a situation that's so far away. The Rasha is doing things that he shouldn't be doing. He's Yodea es Matzavo. He knows his situation, he knows his struggles and his challenges, and he's aware that he could only come out of this mess with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's help. Umitoch matzavo, because of his circumstance, he's pone el Hashem, he turns to Hashem for assistance. So says the Medrash, Karov Hashem l'chol karov, even a Rasha, as long as l'chol kashe yikuv re'emes, as long as he calls from a place of truth, he needs help. The Tzaddik calls from a place of emes, and even the Rasha, though he may not seem like he's calling the emes, because he's doing things that he shouldn't be doing. He's doing sheker, but deep down inside he's calling from a place of emes, and even he is considered Karav Hashem l'chol Karav. Rabbeinu Yonah says there are two types of people. Some people who know their situation, and some people who don't know their situation. Even a Rasha knows his situation deep down. Even those who feel distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they call to Hashem be'emes, they'll come closer to Hashem. Says Rav Volpe then, during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and after, and during the time periods of Tammuz and Av, and more so in Tisha B'Av, where we feel that distance, because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Shechina is so far away. But if we call it Karav Hashem L'chol Karav HaShekuv V'Emes, we call it Be'emes. It's also a moed. We're celebrating that we realize how far away we are. And realizing how far away we are actually brings us closer. And that's why it's called a moed. Because as long as we know our situation, we each know what we have to work on between us, Bein Adam L'Makom, and Bein Adam L'Chaver, to our spouses. We each know what our challenges are, what we can work on better, in communicating better, in saying compliments better, in showing our appreciation more. So then that emesdik will bring us closer to both Ribbono Sholom and to our spouses as well. Just be emesdik and convey that and communicate. Just like you call out Hashem, the emes, you're supposed to call out to your spouse, the emes, and say what you're feeling and say how you feel, as uncomfortable as it might be. That brings you much closer. That's the first way of bringing one closer when one feels distant, through communication. The second idea, that's one of the five languages of love, is giving matanos. And this too, we find a parallel in giving gifts in the Beis HaMikdash and giving gifts to a spouse. The Beis HaMikdash, the Karbanos, the name Karban, Karov, means to bring closer. And the Gemara in Zvachim Dav Zayin Mebei says Karbanos are called Dorin. Dorin is a Lashon of Matana, a gift. Karbanos are meant to be gifts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that he needs it, but it still brings the two people closer. Because Karbanos, Lashon of, again, Kiruv, Karov, it brings closer by giving gifts. And now, even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash to bring Karbanos anymore, we can't give those gifts anymore, the Gemara tells us if one learns about Karbanos. The Gemara says, Kol HaKore Chatas Kilu Hikriv Chatas. Kol HaKore Ola Kilu Hikriv Ola. Person recites the Psukim of Ola, person learns the Psukim of Ola, it's considered as if he's bringing an Ola, bring a Chatas, and that becomes a Matana and a carbon, and brings us closer to the Ribbono Shalom. And in a similar way, we have how gifts are so powerful as bridging a chasen and kala, husband and wife together. Gemara Mishachim and elsewhere tells us that when it comes to simchas haregel, you treat each person to whatever they need. So the simcha for a husband, how does a husband enjoy his yomtif? Bas v'yayin, meat and wine. What more is there to ask for a husband? When it comes to a kid, you give them candy and toys. When it comes to a wife, you give them tachshitim, big day tzivonim, new clothing, new jewelry. You give them gifts. Every Yom Tov, you're supposed to give gifts. Big day tzivonim, tachshitim sound expensive, so you reserve the expensive ones for the Yomim Tovim, for the regalim. But we see that there's an idea of gift, because it's about simcha, not only the simcha of the regular, but simcha between husband and wife. And not only big gifts, but even small gifts throughout the rest of the year, whether it's flowers on Erev Shabbos, or just a small gift somewhere along the way. My wife learned from her kala teacher that when a husband and wife are in a fight, sometimes it's hard to break that ice, and neither one wants to like say I'm sorry, or you look the other way and ignore each other, and who's going to be the one to give in and say I'm sorry, let's talk about this. So I never really understood this until I started appreciating this more, that she said just give something to the other person. not a gift, but just give a spoon, give a book, give something, and that's just a way of just connecting the two of you, and then it'll probably cause you to laugh because it's such a strange thing, and then you'll start say, I'm sorry, and then work out whatever you were arguing about. But there's this idea of giving something bridges the two together. The story about a chassid whose name was Heschel. Heschel was a chassid, a ger chassid, a wealthy businessman. And every year, Chanukah time, he would bring a gift, a matana, to the ger rebbe. Each year, he'd throw up a different gift he could give. One year, it was a beautiful challah plate, a challah knife, a kiddush cup. One year, he wanted to give the rebbe a beautiful silver menorah and have it delivered on time for Chanukah. He found a silver maker to make this beautiful silver menorah special for the Ger Rebbe. And it was ready in time, and he had to take this menorah. He had to take the menorah a 3 weeks trip to get to the Ger Rebbe. And that day, there was a tremendous storm. And it was hard to find any wagon driver to take him. And finally, he found one willing wagon driver paying him enough money to take him, but the wagon driver said, there's one condition, because in order for you to get there in time, we have to go through a shortcut. But not to worry, because the shortcut is a lake, and it's the winter time, Chanukah time, it's been frozen over, but we'll go through that lake, and we'll get you mamish on time for the first day of Chanukah to deliver this beautiful menorah. And they began their journey, and finally got to the last leg right before the town of the Ger Rebbe. And they stopped for a moment, and they saw the lake that was frozen over. And the horse takes a step onto the ice. The ice is strong as could be, and begins to slowly walk its way over, pulling the wagon to the other side. And with 50 feet remaining over this frozen ice, the horse takes a step, and then you heard a crack. And the other foot crack. And a huge gaping hole in the ice opened up. And the horse tumbled in, and the wagon driver, and Heschel, and all the luggage into the water. Freezing cold. Somehow Heschel was able to swim his way out. The wagon driver, the horse, and everything else, and all possessions, didn't make it. He pulls himself out of the lake, drenched, frozen, and he sees a little cabin light on. He knocks on the door. They open up and see the freezing man, invites him in, warms him up by the fire, offered him some change of clothing, and Heschel refused. He said, I need to go somewhere. It wasn't a far distance to the house of the Ger Rebbe, so he leaves, runs over to the house just in time to see the Ger Rebbe about to light the first night of Chanukah. And the Ger Rebbe sees him all disheveled, this chassid, still drenched, the coldness, the dampness. He looks at him and says, so what'd you bring me this year? Hesh is like thinking, you're asking what I brought you this year? And you look how I am, I've got nothing? He says, no, so what'd you bring me this year? He said, I've got nothing. I lost everything. He said, no, you must have brought something. What'd you bring me this year? He said, I got nothing. We were walking, look in your pocket. You must have something. And Heschel puts his hand in his pocket and takes out a soggy sandwich and gives it to the Ger Rebbe. And the Ger Rebbe goes over and gives a kiss on the head. He says, Heschel, I want you to realize, I don't care what you give me. I just appreciate anything that you do give me. Every gift, every matana that comes from you is so appreciative. Whether it's a kiddush becher, whether it's a challah board, a challah knife, whether it's a wet sandwich, any gift from you means so much to me. So the gift to your spouse doesn't have to be a diamond wedding band. Doesn't have to be the most expensive clothing, but any small gift, whether it be flowers or something small and thoughtful, a few dollars, that itself has tremendous, tremendous impact. And I'll add further. This gift doesn't even have to be a monetary gift. It could be something so thoughtful as a surprise. What does that mean? So when I was in college, we'd oftentimes go with my friends to out to dinner. Back then, Dougie's was a very popular restaurant, and we oftentimes go from YU down to 72nd Street and go to Dougie's. And there was always different crowds, for the most part the same core, but always someone new coming in. And we'd used to tell the waiter that it's the new guy, we wouldn't let him know, but we whisper to the waiter, it's that guy's birthday. So it came dessert time, we'd all start saying happy birthday, bring out a cake and candle. He had no idea what was going on, and it was a fun game we played with each other. So when I dated, I didn't take dating too seriously. I mean, I did take it seriously, but I wasn't so serious about how I went about the dating. I was very relaxed. So my first date, which was with my wife, I wanted to get her birthday cake and play that same game and gift, if you will, that surprise on her. And I thought maybe that was crossing the line, so I didn't. But after the first date, I let her know that I planned on doing that, but I had mercy. So we went out for the next date to La Marais, went out for dinner, and it's coming to the end of the meal, and suddenly the waiter starts bringing over to me a cake and saying happy birthday. So my wife played the game on me, a little surprise. And that wasn't, maybe cost me, I had to pay for the $10 dessert. But that's a gift that's really not a financial gift. It's a nice idea, thoughtful surprise in some way of giving. The element of surprise, I think, is a very inexpensive way, thoughtful way to show how much you care. It's a way of giving. I'll share with you the way I got engaged as well. So we already had planned about when the L'chaim was going to be. It was going to be a Monday night. And that already was set in stone. But I hadn't proposed just yet. So my wife, we went out for dinner. I went with her family. Somewhere for dinner in Queens, I think it was. And my wife expected that Sunday night after dinner, I'd be proposing to her. So I drove her home separately. I dropped her off. And then she went in and probably very disappointed that I didn't propose to her then. And she'll wait till the next day, Monday morning, Monday afternoon, to hear the proposal. And then I drove down the block, a couple houses. I was waiting for a phone call. Why was I waiting for a phone call? Because I had asked her younger sister to hang up on her ceiling in glow-in-the-dark, will you marry me? Because I wanted her to go to sleep thinking that's not going to happen, turn off the lights, and then glow-in-the-dark, boom, will you marry me? And that was the element of surprise. So I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and there's no phone call. So then I called her up, and I was talking to her, and I said, anything going on? And she said, no, nothing. I said, okay. Just curious, are your lights off in your room? She said, no, they're not. Okay, is it late? Maybe she should go to sleep now. I said, I'm too emotional about tomorrow. I don't want to go to sleep. Just, I said, do me a favor, just turn the lights off. So she turns off the light. I was expecting like a big, whoa! And there's no response. So I said, do you see anything different in your room? She says, no. I said, are you wearing your glasses? She says, no. I said, get your glasses on, all right? She has awful vision. So she puts her glasses back on. And I said, do you see anything different now? She said, no. I said, okay, do me a favor. Look up at the ceiling above your bed. Do you see anything? She said, I see a little, maybe a little reflection from the light on the outside. Oh gosh, can you just turn the lights on and go look in the ceiling, it says something. And she saw that, said, will you marry me? And that surprise really was a big bust. But the element of surprise is another way of, I think, showing how much you care, a way of giving gifts, giving matanas. So that's the second way, a second language of love. When a person's in a fight, a person feels far away and distant, giving a gift, whether it's big or small, is another way of creating that bond and strengthening that bond. The last one I'll discuss is the idea of spending time with each other. Spending time with each other, We have the concept of the Kadosh Baruch, of course. He's always with us, but there is an idea. Come Sali Regel to go present yourself to Hashem. You're supposed to see Hashem. Hashem is supposed to see you. Just to spend time with the Kadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a year. Now, it obviously is more frequent when it comes with the relationship. But there's an idea of just being with Hashem. Being in the presence of the Shekhinah. Being in the presence of your spouse. There's an idea of just hanging out with each other. Alone. And I recommend to couples that even after they get married, they should still continue to date each other. Which means to still go out and date, ideally once a month if possible. It's harder as you get older with children, but to keep that idea of, as the pasuk says, Al kein yazov ish es aviv ve'imo, he leaves his father and mother, the davak be'ish shavahu l'basa echad, to be with the spouse, to be together as one. And it doesn't mean to always have friends over and the children. You need your own time even without the children. And to always make time, again, ideally once a month, it's hard to keep up that frequently, but to have that special time just to spend time with each other alone, go on dates, go on trips, to whatever you're capable of doing. It's an interesting story I read about a young boy who lived in Yerushalayim, and he was the only child to his elderly mother. He lost his father when he was very young. His mother never remarried, and he studied always in local yeshivas. He wouldn't dorm anywhere because he wanted to be home to tend to his mother. Didn't want his mother to be alone at night. He was a very devoted son. When it came time for this young boy to find a wife to marry, he decided that he's only going to marry a woman who agreed to have his own mother live with him. So it'd be him and his wife and his mother. Because he can never imagine leaving his mother by herself. And understandably, it was quite hard for this young boy to find a willing girl, or her parents even, to consider such a possibility of a shidduch, to have their daughter marry a boy and have the mother-in-law live with them. Who would want that? So the young boy, Josh Shiva, tried convincing him that you're being unrealistic. It's not fair to expect a kala to live with you, such a make such a demand. And marriage is an adjustment as it is. And to throw a mother-in-law in the picture as well makes a greater challenge for any chassan and kala. And you're not going to find a shidduch if you continue with this requirement. And the young boy responded that my mother's been a mother and a father to me my entire life. I can't just abandon her, especially at this age. And so the Rosh Yeshiva says, I'll tell you what, let's take this discussion to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and whatever he says, we'll listen to. And the young boy agreed, we'll go to Rav Shlomo Zalman, we'll explain each of our thoughts, our opinions, and whatever Rav Shlomo Zalman says, we'll listen to Rav Shlomo Zalman. So they made a meeting with Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman patiently listened to what the Rosh Yeshiva had to say, listened to what the young boy had to say. They thought about it for a moment, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I agree with this fine young Ben Torah. You should only marry a woman, a girl, who agrees to have your mother live with you. And I give you a bracha that you should find such a girl very soon. And the Rosh Yeshiva was shocked. He was astonished that the Rosh Shlomo Zalman gave such a psak. But then again, this is Rosh Shlomo Zalman. He's the God HaHador. Who's he to challenge him? And so he accepted the psak of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And incredibly, 3 months later, this young boy found the shidduch who was willing to live with this boy and his mother. And the young boy called up Rav Shlomo Zalman and thanked him. He told him he got engaged and thanked him for the bracha. And Rav Shlomo Zalman gave him another bracha. You should be zocha to build a bais in Yisrael. The day after the wedding, this young boy receives a phone call of Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says to the young boy, now that you're married, it's time you find a suitable residence for you and your kala and a separate one for your mother. And the young boy was shocked. He was startled. He says, didn't you just tell me a few months ago that I should find the girl who's willing to live with me and my mother? And then you're telling me to have her move somewhere else? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, your intentions were very, very noble. But the way is not normal for a couple to live with their mother-in-law, to begin their lives in such a way. You're such a fine person with such sensitivity. You could only marry a girl who has the same sensitivity as you. And the fact that she showed that willingness to live with your mother, that's a perfect shidduch for you. But lemaisa, to live with your mother, that we can't do. So now it's time for you to move on. You go visit your mother often, but you need to live by yourselves. So even in this extreme situation, we see how important it is to be by yourselves, to spend time with each other alone, without the in-laws, without the kids, and keep that special time together. As we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's special time together with Aliyah LeRegel, so too with the spouse it's important. So we have these three ideas, these three etzes, when times are rough, when we're feeling distant from our spouse. So we have the ideas to how to communicate properly, to convey our feelings, express what our thoughts and feelings are, to give gifts and matanas, which could be big gifts, small gifts, or even just nice, thoughtful ideas and surprises. And the third thing is just spending time with each other and continuing to date and going out for dinner or going out somewhere fun with each other alone. Now conclude with an amazing B'nai Yisachar. B'nai Yisachar writes also in Chodesh Tammuz Maimer Gimel. He says, Shemati b'shem Harav HaKadosh Marina Harav Rabbi Pinchas Mikaritz Zetzal. Ahad Amru Bazal, the Eicha tells us, the Eicha Rabbah, B'Tisha B'Av Nolad Ben David. Ben David, the Mashiach, is going to be born on Tisha B'Av. Very strange day to be born. Hatamhu, the reason is, Lios Nishmas Mashiach Ben David Hi Nishama Hayoser Gavol V'Cholalas. The neshama of David HaMelech, rather of Mashiach ben David, is the greatest neshama that's ever going to come down to this world. V'imkein trichin l'leidas zos ha-neshama zivug ha-yose elyon. It needs a relationship, needs parents, the zivug, a mother and father, that has a tremendous bond with each other to produce such a child. V'inei nuchal lisbonei, now we can understand, binyan avas gashmius b'olam hazeh, in the way the love works in this world between husband and wife. Kinyan avas chaverim v'ishem ishto, two friends who love each other. Husband and wife love each other. So biyosim be'ayachad, when they're together, lo tukar kokacha ava. You don't recognize the love because they're always with each other. You're just going about their day. When do you recognize the greatest ava between two people? Ma'ashein ken kishirotim liparid, when they want to separate. Ulisrachik, not referring to a divorce, chas v'shalom. When they have to separate to go on, let's say, a business trip where he's going by himself, whether it's to Poland, whether it's wherever it might, to Uman. Kishirotin li paredu laharchik nidod lizman rav, to distance themselves for a period of time. It could be when there's a distance because of nida. It could be a distance because of a certain fight and they're feeling a certain way. Az yispalua nefashos ba'ava yisera. Then the nefesh begins to build up this strong love for each other, the longing for each other. Ava aza, a powerful love. Migolda hagagum, for the greatness of the longing to be with each other. Valkain, and therefore there's a halacha. Chayiv adam lifkod isha b'sha shayot ladarach. Before a husband goes out for a trip, there's a chiyiv for him to have tashmish with his wife before he goes, because there's that longing of the distance that they're going to have. That's the greatest ava, right before and right when they leave and they depart from each other. Vimke, now we can understand tisbonei, and it's understandable the fiza at the b'shas period when there's separation, like on Tisha B'Av, when we're so distant, az hu azivik ba'ava yisera b'yoser, that happens to be the greatest moed, when there's the greatest ava with us in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, u'mikre zivik hayoser elyon, and that's the greatest when partners are together, when they're distant, that's actually the greatest ava, v'nolad mizeh, Haneshama Hayose El Yona. And that will generate the greatest neshama ever to come down into this world. Al Kain Lios Bavanoseinu Harabim. Now in our days, Hapirud Ben Adivekim Naase B'Tishbav. The greatest distance between us and Hashem is on Tishbav. Mikre Bavanoseinu Harabim Yom Yitzila Derech. It's called the day we go out. The day we go out to the Derech. We go leave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the furthest we are. So now, Dafko on that day, Nolad Mizeh Zivag Mashiach HaNeshama Hayos El Yonu V'Kolelas. That's when the Neshama above produces the greatest Neshama in this world. Valpizeh, based on this, we could understand Tisbonin, Masha Shemati, Shehikshu Tamide Harava Kadosh Marina, Rav Reve Dov Ber Nishmasu, Beginde Meromim, Zatal, the Rabbam, that the Talmidim asked the Rebbe. The Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Nedalad, Shematu Ha'ovim Beyomahu, when they destroyed the base of Mikdash, they found that the Kruvim Kimar Ish were hugging each other inside the Kosh Kedashim. As a Pella. On the day of the destruction of the base of Mikdash, they're hugging each other. Halo Amru, doesn't the Gemara tell us in Baba Metzia Daf Tzadites, Shezelo Hayarok Mizan Shi Yisrael Osin Richon Shamakum? The Kruvim looked at each other and hugged each other only when there is Klai Yisrael was listening to Hashem. But when they weren't listening, they turned away from each other. So the day of the destruction of the base of Migdash, you imagine they were looking away from each other. How come the Gemara says they were hugging each other when the destruction of the base of Migdash was actually happening? So what was the answer? V'heishiv lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh rather, Hanal. Chayv Adam Lifkod B'Shah Shiyotza Derech. You have to give out one last hug. Right before you leave, before there's going to be that preda, that period, that separation. So when there's that separation, before that separation, there's the greatest hug, the last chance you have. And during that separation, there's that tremendous ava that wants to be together. So that we should view every opportunity, every situation where we're feeling down in our relationship, down in our relationship with our spouse, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's an opportunity to use to springboard out off of that opportunity, and as not as a bad situation, but as an opportunity to draw closer and even stronger. So, Mirchah Shem, we shall be Zocha to the time of the Mashiach, Ben David is born on this Tisha B'Av, and we shall be Zocha to that greatest Moed, the greatest Simcha and Ava, both with our spouses and with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yimhera V'Yameinu. Amen.